Hey there. Welcome back to What's Up. This is the podcast where I discuss the Chris Watts murder case. Thank you again for joining today. I really appreciate it. In this episode, I want to talk a little bit more about Nicole Kessinger, or NK, or whatever you want to call her. NK, Nicole Kessinger, it's up to you. So, NK, in my humble opinion, was jealous as fuck. She was. I'm sorry. Obviously, she was jealous of Shanann, and she was envious of Chris and his life that he had with Shanann. And she was going to prove to Chris that she had a much better life, that he should come over to her because she's going to show him how to live his life. Right? Now, it seems to me like NK really judged their life very harshly, while at the same time she was very envious. You see what I mean? You ever know someone who says, I hate people who, and then fill in the blank, anything you want to say. I hate people who, you know, have dogs. I hate them. And then you think, well, why do you hate them so much? Do you secretly want a dog? And I think a lot of times this is actually the case. People will say they hate things that they actually, I don't know, that they love them, but on some level, there's a connection there. So they're thinking about it. Why hate it? Just be indifferent, right? You really have to hate someone who has a dog? Do you want a dog? Get a dog! Stop hating on that dog. So that's kind of how I see this. I feel like Nicole, she herself, admittedly, was very unlucky in love. And she had a lot of boyfriends, and she dated a lot. And she was finding that most men her age were already married, already had kids, were already committed. And she just felt like she was very unlucky. She references her ex-boyfriend, Sean, and how, like, you know, he just couldn't commit. Guys can't commit. They don't want to commit. And she's unlucky. And yet, still, ironically, she feels that she somehow has the keys to live a good life. And Chris should take her cues and her examples and follow her advice, which is sort of ironic. So I don't really think that either of these situations were the ideal. Not the way she lived her life as a single person. She had a good career and a good education. I'll give her that. She had a good body. She's in good shape. I'll give her that. She's attractive. I mean, she seems to have some stuff going on. But at the same time, she's unlucky in love, she's lonely, and she's assuming the role of a mistress with a man who may or may not be leaving his wife. According to her, he was most certainly getting separated. But I'm not quite sure that she was convinced of this, or even if this was a real thing. This is what she said. Obviously, she has to say that in order to live with herself, because no one wants to think, I'm going to get involved with a man who's married behind the wife's back. He is a father of young children and I should be the interloper. No one wants to be in that role, at least not openly. They don't want to admit that they are that person because that's sort of a shameful role. So if he had conveyed to her that he was leaving Shanann, then that would be acceptable because everything would be supposedly out in the open. There would be full disclosure. And she'd feel more comfortable being involved with him. So whether that was the case, I think is still a bit of a mystery. I don't think it's very clear. And again, I always go back to that comment from Nicole Atkinson, where she said that up until recently, they were screwing like rabbits. Well, if that's true, then are they really getting divorced? I mean, I suppose you could be having a healthy sex life and also getting divorced, but I would think the first thing that would go would be the sex, right? I mean, if you're having great sex and you're having it on the regular, are you really going to get separated? Why would you walk away from that? And having good sex, that's going to be the best indicator of the health of the relationship. So I feel like there's a disconnect there. It just doesn't really add up. So I do think, back to Nicole, I think she was incredibly jealous of their life, while at the same time, she also felt that her way of being organic, as opposed to Shanann's way of being highly materialistic, was the right way that Chris should live his life. Now, obviously, when a man takes a step away from his wife, supposedly the first time he took a step away from her, but we don't know that either. He could have had other women on the side. I think Nicole was the first one, but she may or may not have been. I think when a man takes a step away from his wife, the first thing he's going to do is a comparative analysis and compare these two women who are very, very different from each other. So just to compare for a moment, you have Shanann, who's very pretty. She's very feminine. She's well-dressed, well-groomed, well-manicured. Her nails are perfect. She seems to take meticulous care of herself and her house. Her house is perfect. And as also Nicole Atkinson, who was very close with Shanann, would point out, that Shanann, of course, always made the beds every day. And this is another story, but this was sort of a clue when the police were in the house trying to figure out what was going on when the kids were supposedly missing. And Chris said, oh, you know, they asked, does she make the beds every day? Because the beds were unmade. And he said, no. But actually, that's not correct. According to Nicole, and I would have to say, according to just my observation of her, the way that she lived her life, yes, of course she made the kids' beds. Her house was meticulous. She is not the kind of person that leaves a bed unmade. No, not at all. So she was materialistic. She was well-groomed. She was meticulous with her house. She had a beautiful home. Everything about her life was perfectly in order. Except, of course, their finances, which were a disaster. Okay, so Nicole, I think I would assume she's noticing this disconnect, this sort of cognitive dissonance between the way their life appeared versus the way their life actually was. Now, I suppose everyone's life can be in total disarray in one area and in complete order in another. So their house was in order. Their finances weren't in order, but their house was in order. Their house was very nice. And she, when Nicole was inside the house, she's walking around the house, and she says, whoa. And she's like, you know, noticing, wow, I mean, this stuff is expensive. I mean, it looks like they spent a lot on this. Like, I don't know how they possibly afford all of this. And she's being very, you know, judgmental, but not judgmental in the way that I know better necessarily or confident in that, but more in the way of like, I'm jealous. I'm secretly jealous that you have all this stuff, so I have to find the reason why it's not true, why it is bullshit, why it is fake and phony and fraudulent. Because if she's going to call attention to their poor spending habits, Shanann's expensive taste, and her excessive spending, then she can sort of poke holes in Shanann. Now, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying they didn't have severe financial problems and Shanann didn't have excessive spending. I'm saying that this is a way for her to sort of poke holes in their life and say, hey, come over here. I'm financially responsible, and I'm sort of organic, and I live in a much more wholesome way, and you can come to me, and you don't have to be financially cash-strapped, because we'll do things like camping and things that don't, we'll hike, we'll do things that don't cost money. I'm not all caught up in that material bullshit like your wife. And again, she's sort of drawing a comparison between her and Shanann and how she's so much better and he'd be so much better off. And I think he was very, very influenced by this because I think she was tapping into something that he already felt and she got her hooks in. I don't think she was diabolical. I don't think she was like trying to like seduce him in a really nefarious sort of way. But I think she saw a weak spot. So she's in the house And she's noticing and she's saying, wow, you know, why are you sure you want to leave all this? And she's looking at the photos and she's like, you know, he's got this beautiful wife and this nice house and I couldn't possibly be worth leaving all of that. I mean, you know, come on. Like, you know, I think she was just saying that maybe to make herself feel a little bit better, or maybe she wants him to go in it with both feet. And she doesn't want to feel like she lured him away. But she's like, are you sure you want to leave all of this? And I kind of wonder about that. Is she really actually trying to convince him to work things out with Shanann? Is that what she's doing? Or is she just kind of like BSing a little bit? I don't know. That's kind of hard to know. I mean, if she's with this guy and she's crazy about him, is she really going to float the idea that he should try and work things out with his wife? Is that something that someone in her position would actually do? Does she want to persuade him that he should really take a look at all the good stuff that he has and hold on to it and then leave her? That doesn't really make any sense, unless she wasn't that crazy about him, in which case maybe it would make sense. Maybe they weren't as hot and heavy. Again, it's like adventure A, adventure B. I don't know. I would say if she was in love with him, or even if she was very, very smitten with him, she's not going to persuade him to stick it out with his wife. She might say that, but as my dad used to say, that would be lip service. She didn't really mean it. She was just saying it, okay? Maybe to make herself feel better. I already said that. Okay. So Nicole, in comparison to Shanann, Nicole, as I've said before, she was very outdoorsy, organic, earthy, kind of no makeup as far as I can tell, hair pulled back. She was very like a, you know, a granola, you know, earthbound, I guess. She liked to go camping. She liked to be outdoors. She wasn't mired down with material goods and living above her means. And she really felt that she was living in a way that Chris should be living. And she's going to help him get out of that. She is going to be his sort of savior. That's the role that she seemed to have taken on. Now, it seems like Chris always had a very controlling woman in his life. Controlling, maybe that's the wrong word. I mean, I think he's always had a dominant female figure in his life. He had his mom, Cindy. He had Shanann. And now he has Nicole. And I think that this is really a topic for another day. But I think that he's the kind of person, you know, there's that book, it's called Why Do Men Marry Bitches? I'm not saying that any of these women were bitches, but I'm saying it's the same idea. It's like, why are men attracted to women who sort of either control or dominate them? My assumption is that this is exactly what they want. I think they want to be dominated. They want to be controlled. That's why they get into it. But eventually, I think over time, you start to resent someone who's trying to control you. You want to be your own man. And in my opinion, I think that Nicole tried to make it seem like she was the one who's going to finally, once and for all, let him be his own man. And he can do that with her. Like, that was the allure. That was what was so appealing about her, that she's going to let him be himself, right? I mean, doesn't everybody want that? They want someone who loves them, but also accepts them for who they are. They're not trying to change them anyway. They're not trying to make them be something else. And I think that was Nicole's sort of appeal to Chris, that she's going to be the one that lets him be himself versus Shanann, who's just going to henpeck him and tell him, you know, to take his balls out of his pocket and things like that. But I think the thing is with the mistress is that any mistress, you don't get the big picture. You don't get a woman who had 2 pregnancies and she went through all of the pain of pregnancy and childbirth and diapers and sleepless nights and housekeeping and trying to save the house and trying to build a good life together and being up and weathering the storm with the in-laws and the friends and just kind of navigating everything and trying to keep everything all together. You just get a very, very, very slim picture of what you think is a diagnosable problem, you're going to come in and you're going to save them. You're going to save him as though he needs saving. You want to kind of throw a life raft out to him because he's a drowning man, and you're going to throw him the life raft and let him come on over to you because his life is so terrible. You see, but I think that's the conflict, because she's looking at Shanann and Chris's life and seeing how they are in financial disarray and how she's in a good financial situation and her credit score is perfect and she doesn't live above her means and she's not materialistic like Shanann. And yet, paradoxically, she's very envious of all of this. I'm sure she would love to live in a nice house, a big house with all these beautiful things and all these beautiful photos and family and all this stuff. I think that she was very conflicted over that. On one hand, she wanted it. On the other hand, she felt it was terrible and she's going to show him how to live better, even though she herself is admittedly very unlucky in love and in life, and things aren't going as well as she would like. So much so that she has to get involved with a married man. So it kind of goes around in circles, right? Now, in terms of what Nicole might have perceived of Shanann, obviously she perceived Shanann to be materialistic, and maybe she was shallow, and she was controlling Chris, whereas Nicole's going to let Chris be himself, as I've said before. So I think that Nicole looked upon Shanann as someone who, you know, she was just kind of very into things that Nicole didn't really necessarily respect. So she, being Chris's lifeline, someone who he can tell all his complaints about his wife to, and Nicole's going to be there for him, and she's going to listen to him, and she's going to hear him, and she's going to offer solutions, and she's going to go look at real estate listings and house listings, and she's going to say, I'm going to show you how good it could be, completely ignoring their 8 years they had together. Like, that means nothing. You know, you can't come in and get a snapshot of someone's life and assess it and feel like you've got it all figured out. You're going to diagnose their problem from the outside. You're going to be his savior. That was her biggest mistake, in my humble opinion. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. He's going to bitch to you. He sees you as a lifeline. He's going to tell you all the horrible things about his wife, and you're going to listen to him and be intent, you know, with intent. Real attention and give him your attention, and you're going to offer him these solutions. But, you know, you shouldn't be there in the first place. Like, if he's going to get divorced, let him move out of the house. Let him show you full and well that he means business. This is no joke. He's actually leaving the family home. They have filed for a divorce. They've made this separation. They've legalized the separation, and he's leaving. Then you can maybe step in. But don't step in before then, okay? It is premature. It's too early. You shouldn't be there. So, of course, Chris is going to be texting Nicole about what an awful person Shanann is and how she controls him and how she overspends, and it's their fault that their house, you know, their mortgage is underwater and they can't sustain their lifestyle. And Nicole is going to say, I hear you, I hear you, I hear you, and I can tell you how to fix this. I am the solution. Right? But again, I go back to the fact that it's kind of a paradox, because on one hand, Nicole and Shanann are such different people in every single way. They are polar opposites, right? They are the opposite of each other. And yet, in the funniest and most ironic way, I got the very, very strong sense that Nicole was so unbelievably jealous of Shanann. I mean, she was green with envy. She would never admit this, but it feels like I got the very strong sense that she was very envious. Maybe she wouldn't want to live in a big house, and maybe she wouldn't want her finances to be out of control. Maybe she wouldn't want all these material things, but obviously she looked upon Chris as someone who had a life that she wanted. So if she thought his life was so impressive and so appealing, why is she just kind of trashing it and saying how they're living wrong? And she's living right, and she's going to show him how to live right. I don't know. I just don't know. Again, I want to go back to saying I don't think Nicole was involved in the murders. I do not think she had a direct role in this. I think she had an indirect role. What I mean is she influenced him. She would tell, he would say, oh, Shanann does this and Shanann does that. And she'd say, oh my God, I can't believe it. That's horrible. How could she do that? I would never do that. And I think they probably had a lot of verbal conversations and text conversations about how bad his wife is. And she's weighing in. But she is the interloper. She does not belong there. She has no right to even pass judgment or give her opinions about this and influence him. So I think that she was involved in more of a psychological way. She was showing him how broken their life is, and she's letting him know that she's the life raft, and he can go to her, and then he can release all of this financial pressure that he feels that he has. And I also want to go back, to be fair, and say a lot has been said about Shanann's excessive spending habits. And I also mentioned controlling women, okay? So you've got Cindy, you've got Shanann, you've got Nicole, and you have got Chris, who goes head first towards these women and lets them, you know, navigate his life. He likes it. I've known people like this before. Although they may complain about it or they may seem uncomfortable with it, they are drawn to this type of person, drawn to them. They want to be around someone who leads them. That is what they want. Maybe internally they don't want it, but they do it and they go for it and they are like moths to a flame. So I think he liked being controlled. He wanted to be controlled. He ended up resenting it ultimately, but I think this is exactly what he wanted. He wanted to be directed. And that's basically what he did. So he allowed, you know, he allowed Shanann to spend all this money, but he went totally along for the ride. So you're saying he wasn't spending money too? I mean, it takes two to tango. That house was expensive. The stuff inside the house was expensive. Their vacations were expensive. Their trips were expensive. Their airline tickets were expensive. Their cars were expensive. Everything was expensive. And maybe it was twice what they can afford and they were living on their credit cards. That's fine. But are you telling me that this was all Shanann and nothing to do with Chris? I'm calling total bullshit on that. He was along for the ride. Just in the way he liked to be led by women who were dominant, he also went along on the ride of this financial just kind of merriment of enjoying the windfalls of cash that they didn't have and spending and enjoying their life. So maybe he had a certain degree of guilt over that or shame over that, or maybe he has to throw his wife under the bus, or NK has to throw the wife under the bus and say it's all her, nothing to do with him, but I'm sorry. He is a partner in crime in terms of their spending. He was in all those vacation photos. He had everything to do with it. He was right there and then. So give me a break. The idea that it's the evil woman and she's the one who's spending and he's just the innocent victim. I feel like this is how he portrayed himself overall. I'm innocent. I'm the good guy. Can't you see what a good guy I am? I'm just the victim here. And this is the role that Chris played the best. Okay, well, those are my 2 cents for today. Thank you again for listening. I sincerely appreciate it. If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, leave a comment. It really helps me out. You can also follow me at Watts The Story, that's spelled W-A-T-T-S, thestory.com, or on Patreon. Thanks again. I look forward to meeting with you in the next episode. Take care.